Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
The views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA region number 6. Today is a Monday, and it is February the 5th, 2018. Just want to say thank you all for listening to today's show, and we have a good one for you in store. We're going to have our sister, Kim Melikon, come on and give us an update on our brother Dewanye. And so looking forward to that show with you all today. But before we get into that, and if you'd like to get in on the conversation, you can give us a call at any time, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. Once again, area code 704-802-5056 is the number to call if you'd like to get in on the conversation or get involved in today's show. But before we do that, let's take care of some of the administrative duties, then we'll get into today's show. Everyone, please continue to support Black Talk Radio Network by going to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com and making a donation to the network so this network can continue to make its have its overall its station and programs that are been brought to you for how long has Scotty been doing it now? I forget how many years, but it's a very, very important one of the last and one of the largest institutions of its kind that we have, and we don't want to lose that. And the only way that we can be sure of that not happening is if we have the right financial support for this network to continue to go forward. So if you could, everyone that listens to the show. Please make donations to the network so that the network can continue to do what it needs to do. Everyone, please back when you come into the – thank you. And very, very important. So you can do that very easily, make a donation to go to the website for the network and making a donation. Or another great way for you to support the network is becoming a member of its social media outlet known as BTR Community. For only $24 a year, you can become a member of BTR Community. And with that donation, with that overall membership fee that supports the network, if everyone that listens to Black Talk Radio Network became a member in BTR Community and engaged in the overall social media outlet that's there, we would do very, very well. The network would be able to meet its overall financial obligations and be able to grow and continue to bringing you what you have deemed as being necessary and important by your daily participating in the program. So BTR Community can be found at www.btrcommunity, or by going to the main webpage for Black Talk Radio Network and just scroll down. You'll see in the margin the capital B with the black background. So just hit that, and that will lead you into prompt you into becoming a member at BTR Community. So please do that. All donations are greatly appreciated. So you can make any donation to the network, or you can actually become a member in the BTR Community. And once you do that, you have access to this full social media outlet that will not adversely affect you as others do. So please definitely become a member there. And BTR is, once again, is BTR Community is www.community.blacktalkradionetwork.com. Big ups to my man Tommy, that is the chief engineer of today's show. And right after Tando Radio Show, Melanated Roots is going to come on with Brother Rio. And Brother Tommy will have a great show for you all today as well. So make sure right after Tando Radio Show, Melanated Root. Definitely want to catch that show. So big ups to my brother, Tommy, and looking forward to, as always, love, love, man. When you come to, and hopefully Brother Tommy and Rio will be able to make it to the first RDP summit that we're going to have. But that's one brother you want to meet. Tommy is, and Brother Rio, just good, good brother. And, man, they're funny. When you get them two together, they're hilarious. And then, Tommy's dad and brother, phenomenal, phenomenal people. What's up to the family? I always have a good time and love seeing and hearing from those brothers is always special to me. So when you come to the RDP Summit, so let me tell you about the RDP Summit. The RDP Summit is going to be happening on June the 15th and 16th in Dallas. This week we'll be sending out the invite. As soon as I hear back from the gun range on everything. So what we're going to do is we're going to have the first RDP summit where we're going to be featuring and highlighting gun safety and all of the members that come. And you are more than welcome as BTR Community listeners, Tando Radio Show listeners. I would highly suggest you come to Dallas in June, that Friday and Saturday. And the first day is going to be firearm safety and certification. We're going to get you to actually the proper way to handling a firearm and how to utilize a firearm in a safe manner is going to be the first day, and that's going to be great. I think that's very, very important for the women in our community and for the men in the community to have no formal safety training or have not been taught the proper way in utilizing and handling a firearm. So we're going to be doing that. That's going to be all of the first day. It's going to be firearm certification and how to utilize a firearm in an effective, safe way. Is going to be the first day. We're actually going to get some range time in. And so very, very important. Looking forward to that. Then the second day is going to be seminars where we're going to be constructing and building satellite preparedness groups throughout the country, you being all of the participants being the focus of it all, so that we can have a wide variety or a expanding demographic of our community that is going to be prepared and being able to be the first responders to anything that adversely affects the overall community at large. And let me tell you, that's something that you definitely want to do, because that positions you and your family in a position of advantage. And you definitely want that. If you can always, you can just look at some of the things that the community has had to deal with over the past 15, 20 years, and you can see the necessity and how important that could have been and what that could have serviced during that time. And we have to do that, and especially for some of the things that I see coming down the pipe that are pipeline is going to be affecting our community. I don't want it to adversely affect our community. So the first RDP summit will be held in Dallas. And that's some of the things that we'll be going over. Second day, we'll be actually going over preparedness. And we will actually have we develop strategies for first respondings from our communities as satellites. And we'll be going over a bunch of other things, economic opportunities and so forth and so on. So as we get closer, pretty soon I'll pull out the whole agenda and we'll be expanding. I will definitely be looking forward to all of you coming to Dallas in June to start our overall putting some actions and training, and I think that's very, very, very important. So looking forward to that, okay? And I'll give you an agenda as who's going to be some of the seminars and what's going to be the main topic. We'll have that all for you relatively soon. Just need to hear back from a couple of things and sort of get that done and then make sure that we are all ready to go. So that's some of the things that we got coming up. Also, if you would like to acquire real money, you can go to Prosperity Mint. Prosperity Mint is a full-service precious metals dealership where you can acquire real money by trading in your currency for real money so that you can have an asset, so that you can actually start saving as a king or a queen or as a lady and a gentleman, and not save as a slave, because there is a different way that that relationship or that type of mentality based off one's knowledge will actually see and participate in the overall economy as either a debt servant, a lady and a gentleman, or a king or a queen. And I would definitely would say you want to save as in the appropriate way with real money. So you can also email info@prosperitymint.com, and just say Dave said for me to contact you so they can explain the proper way to purchase the precious metals. Okay? So looking forward to that opportunity with you all also at the first RDP Summit. So we'll put that stuff out. Next, everyone, if you'd like to engage in the crowdfunding platform, you can do that via Coins of Change. And I have some meetings with, and I'll tell you, I have meetings with the creator of Coins of Change tomorrow at 9:30. So I'll let you know how that goes so I can keep you up to date on some things that's going on, some things that working on behind the scenes, quietly, but in my opinion, are very, very important. So if you'd like to get involved in the platform for acquiring the cryptocurrency of Bitcoin and soon Ethereum below market price, but being able to redeem it for full market value. You can do that via the crowdfunding platform known as Coins of Change. And all you have to do is you can email powerincrowdfunding@gmail.com, powerincrowdfunding@gmail.com. Just put power, no spaces, IN, crowdfunding.com. And we'll get the presentation to you so you'll know what the actual opportunity is, and you can engage in that. And so we'll talk more about that as well later on this week. So with that being said, we're going to jump into what's in the news. Before we get our sister Kim to come in, let me just text Kim to make sure, because I missed her call earlier. And let me just text Kim, because I know she is. Let me see if she's.
I'm here, Kim.
She may. Hey, Kim, what's going on? Okay,
hey.
We got Kim in queue. I thought you were there. Give me 1 second, sister. Let me go through what's in the news. And what's the.
Okay.
Kim, what area code are you using? The 678?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I see you. Okay, got you, because now I see. Okay, cool. So I know where you are, so we'll get started. Looking forward to our show with my sister, Kim Melikon, and looking forward to, and she's going to give us an update on Duanye and an update on what's going on in Duanye's case. For those of you that don't know about it, we'll go over some of that, because we always have new listeners, so we're definitely going to have to set the overall table for them so that they'll know exactly who Kim and Duanye are and what their cause is and what's happening and why we need to be supporting this young man, that we have to make our voices known and assist as much as we possibly can for the fundamental reasons of, you know, what's politically correct is always morally wrong. And there's a moral stance that we all need to have within our community to say what we will accept and what we won't accept. And so very, very important. So we're going to get to Sister Kim, who is in queue, ready to go, as always. So. But let's get into some of the things as to what's in the news. I'm not going to be able to get to everything as what's in the news because we got Kim standing by. Don't want to keep her waiting, but I'm going to highlight some things. Now, first article, and I'm just going to brush over this, but we're going to definitely talk about this later this week. Over the weekend, and I got this one from Sputnik News, over the weekend, a Russian Su-25 fighter was shot down by a man pad as being suspected, and that's going to be huge. And this actual Russian fighter was shot down, and the pilot safely ejected to the ground and was going to be captured by, in my opinion, U.S.-supported militants. But he actually didn't allow himself to be captured alive. And so that's what happened. So we got a lot of stuff that was there, and this is huge, and it's going to spin off into they're going to find out how that plane was shot down. And remember, the U.S. had sent military aid, man pads, and man pads are basically Stinger missiles or anti-aircraft missiles, sent them to the militant's hand, and now this is going to be deemed as a direct U.S.-supported attack on Russia there. And this thing is going to hugely impact the response. So check out that. Next article. It's a couple of there. I don't want to get into everything. Next article I have from Sputnik News is U.S. officials alarmed by increased illegal arms sales on the dark web. Check out that article. Next article from Press TV. It says that Press TV, paper claims Israeli war on Gaza days or hours away. And there was a lot of activity that's going on there, and I wouldn't be surprised, and I'm trying to vet if an event happened before I report on it, but definitely it looks as if the overall confrontation in Lebanon, Syria, is going to be expanding, and it may turn out to engage into all-out war in the area. So I need to, before I start reporting things of that nature, I want to definitely check them from that standpoint, and this is major. And it looks like there will be some large scale, and this whole thing is all tied together, and our children are tied in it, and you are too, directly into this whole thing, because it's going to adversely affect you. And let me come down a couple of more. Next article I got from Reuters, Lloyds Bank and credit card owners buying Bitcoin. And so basically what they're saying is that there are some in the U.S. and in Britain, their credit card holders will not be allowed to purchase Bitcoin. And I bust out and laugh. This is capital control. They're telling you what to do with your overall currency. And so this is going to play out. The cryptocurrencies had a major sell-off today, which I think is and knew was coming and is necessary. And so you all should be able to take full advantage of that and know what's going on there. I'm not going to get too much into that because of today's show with Kim, and want to get to other things. So I will definitely do that. Next article, I'm skipping over a couple. Got this from TechDirt.com. Ohio Appeals Court says that speed trap towns must pay back $3 million in unconstitutional speed camera tickets, and all of those cameras are actually completely illegal, and pretty much in all of the states everywhere. You just have to know how to defend yourself and to fight those types of tickets, and we'll talk about those later as well. So check out that article. Next article I got from Daily Star, 4 powerful earthquakes strike Taiwan. Check out that article. And then Rise posted this one from Anti-Media. Breaking, Bitcoin plunges below 7,000 in worst start of the year ever. So check out that article. Next article, Rise posted this one from Bloomberg. Bond market debt ceiling alarm bells is ringing loud and clear. Actually, the market went down as much as 1,600 points today, then closed at below 1,100 points. So check out that article. Next article, Rise posted this one. Something bizarre happened in water. Excuse me. Something bizarre happened to water in Florida after the Alaskan earthquake, because all of these tunnels and everything else are tied in the overall tectonic plates are tied in different ways. And Rod said, wow, on that. So check out that article. And it's other good ones that were posted there. But because we have Kim here, our guest, I need to get to our guest. So check out the rest of the articles that were posted inside of Tando Radio Show, and we'll get to a lot of them tomorrow because when we have a guest, I don't like to keep our guests waiting. So check out what's in there, and all of that is for your so that you will know some of the things that's what's going on, and you can make the proper decisions on how you want to prepare yourself. And this is why we do What's in the News. So with that being said, everyone, if you'd like to get in on today's call, in today's show, you can easily do that by calling us at area code 704-802-5056. And just hit star. We'll see you in queue. And I will see you and we'll go to you. So, but when you call in, please mute yourself so that we won't have any background noise so that everyone can hear. So what we're going to do now is we have our special guest is our sister, my sister, Kim Melanchon is here. Kim, welcome to Tando Radio Show. You there, Kim?
Thank you. I'm here.
Good, good. Okay, Kim, so happy to have you back on the show, and let me just set the table for everyone. Kim is a warrior at heart, and I truly, truly appreciate her, and we're going to get into why Kim and what Kim is really an advocate about, and who her son is and why I think is really important for us to set justice on the right course, because it has been maliciously derailed, in my opinion, in Duwanye's case. So I'm going to we'll talk about that, but I just wanted to introduce you to it is not the first time that you've been on Tando Radio Show, but we have new listeners, and Kim is an advocate, and she's also the creator of the GIA Project, which she will explain in today's show. But what Kim is, the reason why I was introduced to Kim is because Kim's son was, in my overall opinion, was wrongfully convicted of, or was wrongfully adjudicated on a murder charge. And we're going to, Kim will give us the, tell us the background on that and why that's so important. And this is why I always say that, you know, politically correct is always morally wrong. And where your freedom begins is where someone, your freedom ends where someone else's begins. And this is a clear case as to why I say that, what we were doing, but we'll talk about that as well. But Kim is coming back on. It's not the first time that she's been on Black Talk Radio Network. Scotty has had her on the show. We've had her on our show. And I would definitely hope that, and I think there's other shows that she's been on here, and we need to continue to push forward in this direction with Kim, because it affects us all. And very, very important. We should not allow the overall political cycle to determine our moral and ethical stance. Once that happens, this is where you have a complete fascist takeover of that you're going to have to not only to deal with, compete with, and then you're going to have to derail that process and defeat it. And this is one of the things that we're going to be doing here. So, Kim, we're going to talk about who Kim is, who Duwanye is, and why that's so important. So, Kim, once again, welcome to Tando Radio Show.
Thank you.
Your home. And, sister, I truly, truly appreciate you. And so Kim is going to give us some updates and how we can help in this case. But, Kim, if you would, if we could just start from the beginning once again, because, you know, you have new listeners, and just as to who you are, and who Duwanye, your son is, and what happened to Duwanye. I think setting that table, some may have heard it before, but, you know, just hearing it again, it's, you hear something new. But for our, some of our new listeners, they may not have heard of who Duwanye is and what happened to Duwanye. So if you would, Kim, if you would just start with what happened, who you are, and who your son is, and what happened in his overall case in Mississippi.
Hi, Duwanye Hickerson is my son, who was convicted last year, and to be exact, July of last year, of second-degree murder for the murder of a transgender person whom he met online. Duwanye met the person online via a dating website where he had signed up to meet a female. Duwanye at the time was a 20-year-old Navy studying to be a meteorologist, and who had really just finished his classes up for that. I just have the certification at home at this point. So I have to say that he had been speaking with Dee Wiggum, who is the transgender person that he was convicted of murder for. He had met him online, and there were several occasions where they had agreed to meet up. And again, unbeknownst to Duwanye, he was speaking to a biological male. So Duwanye is a heterosexual male. He's not opposing people's lifestyles, but he himself, he's a straight man. So he was looking to meet a woman. And, you know, in retrospect, I was thinking that, oh, he's in the base, he's safe. knowing he's going to date, and I kind of think, should I have asked questions early on about who he was dating? Because maybe I could have shed some insight to him. Not that I would have known, because it's very hard to tell in this day and age, and it's just something that we have to have conversations with our kids about now. It's just a different era. And so I wasn't thinking anywhere along those lines that Duanye would be caught up in something so treacherous and something so, it just, of course, life-changing for him and for the transgender as well. So long story short, Duanye had agreed to meet the transgender on numerous occasions, and he stood him up, she stood him up several times. And he didn't understand why. He said, you know, and these are conversations that I've had with him after the fact. Well, there was a rodeo that came into Pascagoula. Duanye was stationed at the Keesler Air Force Base, again, getting his certification for meteorology. And finally, he says he got the call that D. Wigham was in town and he wanted to meet him. So he picked Duanye up from the base, and this was late at night. And he had said that there were going to be some friends coming along with them. So Duanye, of course, thought, okay, you know, we're going on a date or whatever. We're going to drop his friends off. So they had talked online several times, and it was kind of understood what they were going to do. I mean, he's a 20-year-old. That individual was a 25-year-old at the time. And it was just it's kind of unspoken that they weren't going there to sip tea and talk. They were going there for sexual experience. And that's what happened. So during the sexual experience, Duanye said that D. Wigham said to him that he didn't want to have traditional sex because he was saving that for someone that he would potentially marry or be with, you know. And so there, again, was deception. So there's deception all around. You know, there's deception in not saying who you are, because someone has a right to know, you know, if you are born biologically a male, even though you have enhancements, which he did, breast implants, taking medication for an atrophied penis. So just things that we, you know, a 20-year-old is not doing a frisk on who he presumes to be a female. So he didn't pat the person down. And even so, this person still had the anatomy, you know, and enhancements that provided him a disguise, if you will. So after the sexual act happened, D. Wigham turned around at that point and said to my son, I'm a man. So this is where Duanye says in court and to everyone, constantly repeating the same story, that he lost it. He felt he just lost it. And again, as a straight man having an experience, not by choice, not consenting to a sex act with a male, you know, just very emasculating, ethically wrong, because you don't know someone's stance on homosexuality, and it's not fair to engage them in something that they aren't aware of. So
it's immoral.
It's immoral, yes, you know, for a person who doesn't practice such. So Duanye proceeded to kill his rapist at the point. And I say rapist because there is a term called rape by fraud, okay? So it would be the same for a female. Rape is forceful. It's deceitful. It's lying to get something, to obtain something that you would ordinarily not be able to obtain. So this is where Duanye was, of course, arrested and charged with initially capital murder for this. And he took a plea last year in July. He was given 4 days to decide on a 40-year plea, which was considered a deal. It was under duress. Duanye was not thinking, we were not, it was just a very bad time because my family members, we were all involved every step of the way. We hired private counsel from the beginning, from the day of his arrest. He had the same counsel Later now that I find out that she did absolutely nothing to defend my son and was seeking a plea deal from the beginning. Just never a defense, no psych evaluation. If someone says they lost it, that's an indication that there was a crime, a heat of passion moment where a person is put in a situation where it's a trigger for them. I don't know my triggers. You may not know yours, but when they happen, they happen. And this is what the situation is now. Duwanye had pleaded guilty to second-degree murder and given 40 years, whereas it would have been a manslaughter charge, of course, and between 10 to 20 years, which is what we thought we were facing initially. And that got turned around to second-degree murder, sentenced to 40 years without parole.
Wow. And so this is the case that we have before us, and there's a whole lot to the story that Kim had just gave you a briefing on, and we definitely want to talk about that. And then we want to get for Kim to give us an update on what's going on with Duwanye now. And if you would like to get in on the conversation, I would highly suggest that you give us a call. And the number is 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056, once we open up for your calls. And I'll let you know when we'll do that, because I want to lay some things out. And, Kim, you know, this is, you know, some of the extension of the tragedy of this whole thing is that you're not advocating. And you've actually established a foundation or the GIA group, correct? Right.
That's correct. Yes. I just want to add real quickly too that Duwanye has never been in trouble a day in his life. Okay, he's not had so much as a ticket. Okay, so this was something that was very alarming, not just to us as a family, but also to his commanding officers who stood by his side up until they were no longer able to do so for various reasons. But they were very, very, very interested in Duwanye because they knew what type of model soldier he had become. And he was just, you know, this was something that he was broken over, feeling as though, what just happened? How didn't I know? And I often wonder if it were the other way around and Duwanye had went back to his barracks and taken his life, where would we have been able to turn for answers? Would there have been any penalties or any prosecution for the transgender who deceived Duwanye in the beginning? You know, so the answer to that is no, because there are no laws to protect your sexuality, and there are no laws that say it is illegal for you to deceive and to trick and to rape someone by fraudulent means. There are no laws for that. So that is a huge thing that the organization that I founded, GIA, stands for Gender Identity Accountability, means to me. It means to me that there should be legislation to protect everyone's right. I have a right to not enter into a relationship with someone based on the fraudulent means. And because of the day and age that we're living in, we're living in a time where the LGBT community has a very big voice. So anyone who goes up against the community is going to receive backlash in the form of termination from their jobs. You've seen where people have spoken out even about Duwanye's case, and they received so much feedback. Some of them refused to apologize because they stuck to their guns and said this was wrong. It was morally wrong for him to be deceived. And so whether or not, you know, this is not advocating violence, I make that very clear. that GIA does not advocate violence. We do not advocate violence. You know, everyone has the right to do what they want to do until it infringes on your right to make an informed, conscientious choice. And so that's where it gets sketchy, when you're not telling me the truth, especially for something as intimate as a relationship or sex. That's very intimate and it's private. And deceiving someone in that nature can bring about episodes. This is not the first time this has happened. You know, I've done a lot of research and come across a lot of cases where this has happened, and people are not getting their due diligence because they're being charged as transphobic or they're charged with a hate crime. And I'm not saying that there aren't hate crimes against transgenders or gay people in general. Yes, there are. But this was not a hate crime. My son is very familiar, and we have relatives that are part of the LGBT community. So there's no hatred in our heart. It's what's right, and this has to be a right that he was wronged, and this has to be right. And that's where GIA comes into place, and not just for him, but for everyone who's battling and dealing with a situation where they're afraid to tell the authorities, or they have told the authorities, and no one does anything about it.
Yes, and Kim, thank you for being who you are. And when we open up the phone lines, if you have a question or comment, give us a call at 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. And then when you call in, just hit star. We'll see you in queue, and we will definitely take your call. And this is something that I think is some of the things that we have to deal with in today's, you know, times. You know, sometimes crimes are crimes of aggression, are predatory crimes evolve and they change. And this is not a knock on anyone's sexuality, anyone's sexual preference, anything that they decide to do with their lives. And as we always say, your freedom ends where someone else's begins. So this is not a knock on any community, the transgender community. What this is a knock on is anyone that happens to be a transgender that is a sexual predator, that will engage in rape, forceful by force and by fear and by coercion. To basically, because then what you're doing is that's an aggressive act. That's a violent act against someone else that would otherwise not want to engage in a relationship with you. Just because you want to have a relationship, there's no difference with a rapist in the traditional, what everyone commonly thinks of, is that there's one person that wants to engage in a sexual intercourse or relationship, and another one that doesn't. And so the one that does gets to forcefully supersede and force themselves on the other person that does it. There is no different than when you deceive someone, because if you told them who you truly were or the truth about your overall physical presence or constitution, then they can have a choice to say yes and no. And for those that decide to engage in those relationships, that's none of our business, none of our concerns. That's, you know, consenting. There is no consent that would happen to Duane, and this young man lost it. And as he said, he lost it. And in my overall estimation, this was rape by fraud. But not only that, there was criminal. In my opinion, there was possibly, and Kim will talk about this, there was collusion and malicious criminal collusion in his right to due process that was interfered with because of the overall political arena or the political background in which was now presenting itself in Mississippi. And we're going to talk about some of that. So this is why we're advocating, and we want to assist Tim in her organization, GIA, and this is why we also want to ensure that Duane is given the full process, due process of the law that he has a right to have, and that was compromised. From his plea deal to his trial and plea deal, all of it was maliciously and purposely, in my opinion, compromised. And once you have that, ladies and gentlemen, that overall plea is null and void. The judge and all of the attorneys that were involved have to answer to the violation of this young man's process, due process, is something that needs to be held account, that needs to be held to answer. So would love to hear from you all. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, we're going to talk to Kim and until the top of the hour. Then we'll take some phone calls after the top of the hour. And you can give us a call at 704-802-5056 after our commercial break, 704-802-5056. So now you have some of the background of the overall story, and there's a couple of things that I would love for Kim to just address. One, Kim, there were some things that you found out after Duane's plea deal. You talked about when Duane was offered the plea and how that plea deal was really a plea under duress, because there was collusion, in my opinion, and there was an agenda. And that agenda had nothing to do with bringing any form of due process to Duane and Duane's case, but was politically motivated and politically charged for an outcome that would be acceptable to a segment of the population. And that is in that whole intention, and I believe that there was collusion from all parties, including the judge, the prosecutor, and the defense attorney, in my opinion. And Kim, so if you would, tell us about the appeal process, what happened after when you found out, because I believe there was an interview that someone gave. If you could talk about that, if you can't talk about that, definitely we don't want to harm Duane's case. And then talk about that, and then also, where is it right now with some of the current events with Duane, and how is it that we can help? What is it that you would like us to do, and how can we assist you in this overall? Because this is really about protecting society. Because if you could mute yourself out of NYC, we got a lot of background noise. Let me mute this one caller. I muted the caller. Caller out of NYC, if you have a question or comment, just hold on to the top of the hour. We had a little background noise there. Because what we're really doing is that we're protecting everyone. Predators of any kind, a predatory mentality is what there needs to be laws to protect society from those type of individuals, organizations, or institutions. And that's what this is all about. Kim, if you would, tell us about the process after Duane was given, and during the time that Duane was given the plea deal. What was Duane's mind, what was Duane's thought process? What was yours? And what did you think you were being presented with? And let's talk about that. So that our audience, listening audience, will know the significance of that, if you can talk about that.
Yes. So very early on, I was involved with the attorney, going to meetings with her, and she had told me about all the things preliminarily that she would be doing, such as, you know, normal things, psych eval, obviously, there needed to be one, requesting his records from the military. He had just had an extensive battery of tests done before being accepted into the Navy. They found nothing mentally wrong. Dwayne doesn't have a history of mental illness. So those were all things that needed to, those were factors in his case. So it was not until the 11th hour that we were presented with, again, initially he was being charged with capital murder because of he removed the victim's or D. Wiggum's bag from the room, and he tossed it in the trash. He didn't take any of the contents out. He threw it away in an effort. You know, he's, at this point, he's not, he's never was thinking clearly. So, you know, this isn't an effort, a 20-year-old covering his tracks or thinking that he's doing that and not thinking rationally. None of this, after the snap, is there's no rational thoughts here. So he was convicted of capital murder, indicted for, I should say. And so, of course, as a family, we said, no, that's unacceptable. We know that this is not in his history to commit any type of crime. So, no, we're not going to deal with that. And so it was brought down to first-degree murder. So we said no to that. And we said we want to go to trial. So there was myself and Dwayne's aunts, uncles, his dad on a conference call with the attorney, and every one of us, there was about six of us on the call, drilled and questioned the attorney extensively as to why we would not go to trial. We said we want to go to trial. And she said to us that, hey, you're in the state of Mississippi. I highly doubt that he would get a fair trial. He's a young black man. So, yes, she did pull the race card and kind of scare us. I mean, she really did. So she says, I'll go back and see what we can do. So she comes back with second-degree murder, 40 years, and I said, no, I can't. You know, and we told Dwayne, she had met with him and told him what that was the best the DA could do. Because if he went to trial, the DA would take back the second degree and he would charge him back to capital murder, which was a mandatory life sentence without parole. The death penalty was taken off the table early on because he has no criminal history, and that would be it. So she gave him 4 days to decide if he would take the plea. I discouraged it. We all said, I don't know about this. And he said to us, his mom and dad, he said, I'm going to take the plea because I don't want to die in prison. I don't want to be 60 and still sitting here when I could sign the plea and I could come home. At least I would be 60. So I'm at, it was just very heartbreaking to hear my 20-year-old tell me something about being 60 years old and that he would be okay. Not okay, but if that was it, that was all to it. You know, she had kind of convinced him that he would not get a fair trial. You're in Mississippi, you know, this is Mississippi. So it, that was what rang out. So I had no choice. We had no choice but to, he had to make the decision on his own at this point. And I would never be able to live with myself or ourselves if we took that choice away from him and said, no, we are going to court, and things turned out very differently for him. So he accepted the plea. We went to court, and in court he stood there, and he told everyone the same thing that he had been telling everyone all along, that he thought this was a female, and he did not know that this was a man until he turned over and told him that he was a man. And D. Wiggum's relative stood in court, I believe it was his mother, and she said, I'm so sorry what happened to you. I understand. We did not accept his lifestyle. I just wish things would have turned out differently. And the judge agreed, and we all agreed that two people tragically lost their lives in a case that was preventable. This did not have to happen. Early on, it said to him, I'm a man. Are you interested in seeing me? My son would say, no, I'm not into men. End of story. Everyone goes on about their business. But it didn't turn out that way. So here we are right. The next Sunday, and the prosecutor, the DA, gives an interview to a newspaper, a local paper, stating that he was glad that Duwanye accepted the plea because it guaranteed him to be in prison. And he knew that if he went to court, they would only be able to prove manslaughter.
To go to trial.
If he went to trial, they, meaning the DA and the prosecution, would only have enough, at best, for manslaughter. And he goes on to say, or even a possible acquittal based on a crime of passion, based on what they found out were hard facts that my son did not know who this person really was, and he did snap and lose control and have, you know, just diminished capacity at that point. So with that being said, I thought to myself, I immediately contacted the lawyer and I said, what is this? You know, if we were going to court for manslaughter, we certainly would have did that, because manslaughter would carry anywhere between 5 to 10 or 10 years.
You know, they would have been able to get a conviction.
Absolutely, as opposed to 40 years. And she says, oh, that's just the DA trying to cover himself. And I just thought, well, you had every fact. You had the discovery. You should have known that he didn't have enough for manslaughter. I mean, for first-degree capital or second-degree murder. That was what we hired you to do, defend him. So needless to say, now we have hired another attorney who is looking for a post-conviction relief for Duwanye. And that's what we're doing now. So we are looking at any form of support for Duwanye in the form of letters, signing into GIA, offering your experiences, as well as any legal counsel or advice that you, anyone, I'm sorry?
Kim, hold on. Your phone went out after you said that you hired legal counsel to get that post-conviction release. So if you would pick up there, it was a very important part of the conversation that you were going to be talking about. Go ahead.
Okay. So, again, the new counsel is there to draw a post-conviction for Duwanye based on ineffective counsel. And so right now we are looking and we are searching for anyone who's listening, who has expertise, experience, and who can support in the form of letters, who shares, may be out there, had similar experiences, contacting through GIA to assist with advice, counsel. At this point, we are looking at all angles to get Duwanye a fair trial. That's what the goal is, to get him a fair trial. He was not given the opportunity to do diligence. He was not given an opportunity to see this justice system through. It was a political move, and they wanted to set an example out of my son and to prove what I don't know. You know, I just know that it wasn't fair to scare him into a scare tactic to say, oh, if you don't do this, this is what's going to happen. You do know where you are. So it was more of a scare tactic on, I hate to say this, but my defense lawyers who were working in collusion with the prosecutors.
And Kim, if you could talk about, what was some of the, was there a history that they, if you could talk about it, was there a history between your attorney and the prosecutor? If you could talk about that.
You know what, at this point, Dave, it's public record.
So we can talk about it.
You know, it's no longer being closed-lipped because it needs to come out, and, you know, there needs to be awareness. The defense attorney that we hired was a former.
Hold on one second, Kim. One second. Don't say it. Just hold on one second. We got to get ready to go to a commercial break.
Okay.
And this is where the collusion is about to. This is the malfeasance of justice that happened here, and this is making us all vulnerable. to predators from all walks of life. This is going to harm the transgender community. This is going to harm the gay and lesbian community. This is going to harm the heterosexual community, because the law and the judicial system is aware of this now. Precedence has been set, and they've taken the precedence that is going to bring about more violence. And not only that, it's violations of due process for every person that is accused. Duwanye never had a right to defend himself from accusations because of collusion. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. We're getting ready to go into a commercial break. We're going to talk to Kim a little more, and then we're going to open it up for any of your questions or comments. And you can do that by giving us a call at 704-802-5056. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, we're going to open up the phone lines and give us a couple minutes, and we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. And we'd like to hear from you. Call into the show. If you never called into the show before, call in now. If you have any questions, questions or comments, definitely contact us by giving us a call. Or if you're in the chat room, you can post some stuff there. My brother, Mr. Griffin, got it, and I will send that to Kim. So thank you for that. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to go back to Kim. Kim, you were just talking about, before we went into the commercial break, what happened with the overall attorneys, and if you could pick up back there where the collusion, and I'm going to say that's exactly what it was, is collusion. You know, the attorney said that, absolutely right, Duwanye was not going to get a fair trial. Because she was not in part, she was not upholding the overall fiduciary legal requirements to represent him properly. Because there was ulterior motives, and there was collusion that she was engaging in with the overall prosecution, and she was actually she told on herself. She absolutely did. She was absolutely right. So, Kim, if you would pick back up and explain what happened there.
Well, my defense attorney that we hired worked as a prosecutor before she took on the role as a defense attorney. So that was a double-edged sword for us, because you would think that, oh, okay, so my defense attorney worked with these people, so she knows their tricks, she knows what they're going to be doing, and this is how she sold herself to us to hire her. And again, we hired her very early on, and not for a small amount, I might add. And you know, it was nothing short of selling us a lie and not doing anything. And I have to tell you this now that we're on the back end of working Duwanye's case, reworking it with a different attorney. When my attorney now summoned the court for the court records, he received 40 pages. 40 pages from
40 pages in a capital murder case.
On a capital murder case. So that just gives you a little
pages.
Bit of 40 pages. Just gives you a little bit of what was not happening from a judicial standpoint or a defense standpoint.
And real quick, Kim, let's lay the groundwork for that. 40 pages, a capital murder right. case should have boxes and boxes.
Yes. Yes. 40 pages is what was transcribed.
Material.
Yes. So, but, you
because
know, that...
She was working the prosecution from the day of hire. For
yes.
the prosecution from the day of hire.
Correct.
So go ahead, Kim. I won't interrupt.
There was just no. It's fine. It's just that it's not that we were just sitting idly by allowing this to happen. I posed many questions along the way, and you know there were answers. Some that we did not agree with, but I can tell you that she was quite convincing, and in scaring us to not go to trial. And I would think that our defense attorney would be the opposite way, you know, who would say, we can beat this, you know, because she met Duwanye. She knew what type of kid he was, is, a type of man he is, I should say, because he was a soldier, you know, a Navy soldier for
sailor.
The United States.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a sailor. So there you are. You know, you're not looking at someone who took an oath to defend his country, who went through training to do so, who excelled at everything he did, you know. And so she had asked at one point for character letters. Our whole community wrote character letters for Duwanye. Teachers wrote character letters. There was no question his character. So I felt that, you know, those were all things that should have been taken into play at a possible trial. But there was just, she just did not want to go to trial because of the fact that there was just collusion in the beginning.
And, wow, amazing. And that's where we are. So what we're going to do, we're going to open up the overall phone lines for those of you that have any questions or comments for Kim about Duwanye's case. And I will just say this. We are not against the transgender community. Kim firmly believes that they should have the right to prosperity like any and everyone else. This is the precedence that was here, and the collusion that was done there was a criminal act against the transgender community, against the gay and lesbian community, and against the heterosexual community, against everyone in this country, because the law is not protecting, by way of the law, is not protecting the everyday persons from predators, which D. Wiggins was. He just happened to be a transgender predator. And that was the act of rape by fraud that caused an emotional response from a heterosexual man that led to the murdering of D. Wiggins. Duwanye never said that he didn't do it, but it's the reason why it happened. And that is the true nature of this case. And this can happen and is going to continue to happen until it is rightfully adjudicated. And so this is what our overall purpose is. So if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call. Oops, I almost gave out the wrong one. 704-802-5056. We'd love to hear from you. For those of you that you heard that you were muted, it's because I muted you because there of the background noise. There was background noise that you had that was getting bled, and it was actually bleeding into Kim's speaking, and so I had to mute you. So those individuals, you can unmute yourself. We have a caller out of ATL, area code 402. Welcome, you're on with Tando Radio Show with Kim Melikon. If you have a question or comment, what say you? Caller? Out of area code 402?
That's 404, Dave.
Oh, 404. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, brother. I'm tripping. Code 404. Welcome to Tando Radio Show. You're on live with Kim Melikon. If you have a question or comment, you can make that known now. 404? Okay. There were a couple of other individuals that had called in. I had to mute you because of the background noise. You can unmute yourself. If you have a question or comment, just unmute yourself, and then we will go to you. So, Kim, you know, it's... when we look at this whole case, as you said early on, this should have never happened. And I think one of the things is that even Dee Wiggins' own family members, they said that they didn't approve of his lifestyle. And I don't think that they were meaning by him being a transgender, but they were talking about his intentions as a transgender.
Yes, yes. Because his mother said she did not approve of his approach. So that's just not a comment that showed disapproval of his being a transgender. It was
no.
The approach. So meaning I want to be with someone. And I find that very interesting because this is a question that I have asked people of the transgender community. What is it with going after straight men? You know, what is that about? You know, you could easily get someone in the LGBT community to talk to. I mean, we've all seen the pictures. Some of them are very, very convincing and beautiful. So why would you not go after a you know, someone within your community who would gladly accept you. So I was told to me that it's not the same because they view themselves as women. So just as I, you know, just it's just they feel that they have the right to talk to a straight man the same as I, who was born a woman, would have the right to talk to a straight man. And to the point of even saying, do you disclose to men, you know, that you were born a woman? Is that like something that you would say? Well, no. Well, then why should I? Well, what do you mean, why should you? Because you're not a woman.
Right.
But it is an argument to be had.
Right, right. Well, I think that there is no argument to be had because of this. You know that if you told that individual how you were biologically created and what you had to do to get to the overall condition that you're in right now, they
right.
should have a say-so because there was a process that you went through that you should be disclosing to someone that you want to have an intimate relationship because if
right.
they knew that they would have... See, it's not about you. It's about the... See, every predator and every predator always thinks about me.
Right.
But see, it's not about you. It's about the overall other individual that you're deceiving.
Why be deceitful? And I've heard
because you have to be deceptive.
People say, I'm living in my truth. Okay, if you're living in your truth, then what are we not telling the truth for? Then it would be easy
exactly,
to say,
Kim.
I was born a man. You know, this
right.
is who I am. Really, this is who I am. I identify as a female. However, I was born a man. So that's your truth.
Right. Right. There's an obligation to tell that person because they can now make a choice if they want to have that type of intimacy with you, not saying is right or not saying is wrong. Now, once you know, it's so important that we set the groundwork is because DeWanye didn't have an opportunity to say no. I don't want to involve myself
right.
in that. That's
he
not who I
not.
Am because of moral reasons, because of ethical reasons, because of all kinds of reasons. I don't want, and that's where that person's, their freedom took on it imposed on someone else's freedom. And that is where that crime and that rape by fraud. We have a couple of callers in queue. Kim, you ready to take some calls?
I am.
Okay, great. And I just want to say, Kim, you're doing wonderful as always.
Thank you.
I truly, truly appreciate you. All right, so let's go to, we have a caller out of ATL, and the area code is 770, prefix is 722. You're on with Kim Melicon. What is your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment? Out of ATL, 707. 722. What say you? You're on. Okay, we're going to go to the next one. We're going to go to, thank you for muting yourself. Next caller we're going to go to is out of area code 504, prefix of 428. And if you you can hear me, is out of L.A., out of Louisiana. Welcome to the Tando Radio Show. What's your name and what is your question or comment for Kim?
Hi. Hello.
No, you're fine. Hello. Yes.
Hi.
Welcome to Tando Radio Show, sister. No, you're fine.
My comment to Kimberly is she's putting up a really good fight, and I think it's very rewarding at the end to see the job that she's doing for her son. And I would also like to know, is there anyone else that's helping her along this line with this very, very courageous battle that she has to fight for her son?
Great question.
Thank you so much. Yes, along the line, actually, that's the reason that has me and Scotty has me on the program. Is because we are accepting any and all forms of support for Kawanye in the forms of letters, writing, giving your opinion on the GEO website, sharing experiences, as well as any legal voices who can share advice on insufficient counsel. That counts. Everything counts. So there is always an open door for me personally. I have contact information that I'll share when time to wrap the show up. I am always open to have conversations with anyone about Duwanye's case. It's very important because we don't know all the answers, and there really hasn't been a precedent set for this type of case before. So there are some cases that happen. But there are different reasons. So just recently there was a case that I thought was something else that I had to just completely scrap because it wasn't what I thought it was. And I don't want there to be confusion between hate crime versus what happened to Duwanye. I don't want there to be any confusion. So I don't want to support anyone who does hate crimes and who intentionally sets out to harm someone based on their sexuality, or someone who knew what they were doing and decided to, kill someone because they were feared for being outed. I don't want any part of that. So this is something different. I want people to understand my son did not know. He did not know.
Right. And there's a flaw in the overall judicial system where there are many flaws, as we know, that is not protecting the overall common citizenry that happens to go across all demographics and choices, because they have not defended the people from the predators. And that's what the overall and the laws need to come up to date to the crimes that are being committed in our society.
Dave, you always mention identity theft, and there were no laws for identity theft as when I was growing up, because we really didn't have debit cards and things like that. But as technology advanced, there had to be some parameters set for identity theft because people were stealing people's identity. And so now we have laws, and it says you go to jail if you steal someone's identity. Case closed, you go to jail because it's fraud. So there should be some consequences and repercussions the same way, because I'm sorry, but my body is definitely more important than a debit card. So if there are laws surrounding your finances, there should be laws surrounding your body. And that's where there is a huge disservice, a huge disconnect. And quite frankly, people are afraid to go up against the LGBT community. I can tell you that I've written several letters and sent them off to different communities in different states to have dialogue with for the GIA organization. I have not received one response. So that's very telling.
It is. And Kim, I got a got someone that is very that always wants to know what's going on with you and DeWanye. Big Marv has sent a article, and it's from the Atlantic Black Star. FBI prosecutes his first black identity extremist, and hardly anyone is talking about it. So I'm going to forward that one to you. And Big Marv, as always, thank you so much, brother.
Thank you, Marv. I appreciate it.
Yes, and then we're going to also talk more about how you can support DeWanye and more about what's going on. So we're going to take a couple of more calls. We've got another caller in queue, and for the one caller that just called in, thank you, sister. So continue to listen.
Thank you.
And Kim will give you some contact and how we can help. And I'm going to just say one of the things that Kim and I had talked, and we've been talking since last year, we wanted to wait until Kim had the right attorney, and we didn't want to step on her counsel's or DeWanye's attorney's efforts, and wanted to make sure that it was okay for us to talk about and go in certain directions, because we didn't want to see the main emphasis here is to get DeWanye due process. And before, because a lot of times people will have self-serving purposes and everything else. But the main thing here, the main objective here is to bring due process for DeWanye and anyone else that ever is in DeWanye's position, but also to have laws that will prevent or make it a crime for anyone to engage in such identity rape by fraud and be a predator against the overall society. That's what the overall judicial system and the laws should be looking at, but they were politically motivated in this one. So, Kim, hold on. We got another caller in queue. The caller out of Atlanta, your area code is 404, and the first three numbers is 229. Welcome to Tando Radio Show. Do you have a question and comment for Kim? Caller out of Atlanta, do you have a question for Kim? 404-229. Okay, I'm about to mute you, and if I mute you, that's because, okay, great. So, Kim, so if you would, there's a couple other, they'll come back in. Kim, if you would, give us an update. How is DeWanye? Where is DeWanye, and what can we do? And so we're here now. What do we do to support you, Gia, support, but main first and foremost, Rise. Hold on, I'm going to go to you real second. But before we do that, let's just think about that, Kim, and then I want to go to Rise, and then we'll go to how we can support DeWanye and you, and just give us an update on DeWanye and what is it that we can do with him. Rise, welcome to Tando Radio Show. You're on with Kim. Go ahead, Rise.
Yes, greetings, Sister Melon Kindness. It's great to hear you back on the air.
Hi, Rob. Thank you.
Hi. I'm so glad to get an update from you. I just have to say to you, I don't know if you really get the depth of the importance of what you're doing with Gia. It is so important. I don't think everybody really understands, and I'm about to provide some information to let you know why. 2 weeks ago, and I posted this on BTR Community because you were the first person I thought about when this came up. I was watching the local news in New Jersey, and they were talking about a new law that they were putting into place to allow transgender people to change their birth certificate. So if they were born a male and they wanted to, and they turned female and they wanted to have their birth certificate reflect their okay. sex change and their identity over their actual birth identity. They're able wow. to do that. And they're also allowing people to come from other states to do the same thing.
Wow.
There's no provision that says that they have to reveal any information about who they are to anyone that they're having any sort of potential sexual activity with. So to me, this is just the government facilitating more and more events like what happened to your son. Simply by stating
wow.
you can change your birth certificate, present it to someone, let's say, if they say, hey, I want to see your birth certificate to make sure that you are who you say you are, they can present a birth certificate that makes them look like they're really what they're not. And the only
wow.
way the person will find out is possibly if they meet someone who knew them before, even as a child, before they had the gender change, or if one of the other person's relative tells them, they're not going to know who that person was. And there it is. It's the government is facilitating this sort of tragic fraud and just and rape by fraud. It's just crazy. And this was just 2 weeks ago. And I looked up more information on it, and I saw nothing written where they are, you know, stating that, you know, heterosexual people should be protected. You know, all the protections are going towards LGBTQ. And again, let me just qualify this. I have no problem with anyone of any gender or any sort of LGBTQ person. You can do whatever you want behind closed doors with your life. That's no problem. But like Dave said, your freedom ends where mine begins. And, you know, if the law is facilitating this sort of stuff, then it's going to create a major backlash amongst heterosexual people, because cases like your son's are going to skyrocket. And this just
yes.
takes me back to the early 90s and late 80s, when you had what was known as being down low, where you had married men who would go out and have gay sex and then go back to their wives, and people started getting convicted of murder because they were not telling the other party that they were gay. They would get AIDS and go and pass it on to someone who was heterosexual and had no idea that the male was actually
Absolutely.
A gay male or bisexual. So it's the same thing with this situation. The only difference is the person is going through surgical, you know, gender change, versus back then it was just a gay male who kept his genitalia. He just was homosexual. So I don't see what the major issue is with understanding that it is completely incorrect for someone to fool someone into thinking that they're someone they're not, when in any other case it would be considered a criminal act. And in your son's case in particular, I don't care how old the person is. I could see anyone snapping of any gender if that
yes.
happens to them. They had a white female just earlier this summer who was convicted because she was walking around pretending to be a man and having what females were thinking was heterosexual sex with a dildo, until she was finally caught.
Yes.
And exposed. And she went to jail for, again, fraudulent activity. She was a female. She didn't go through any gender change. She was actually fooling women and wearing a dildo and having sexual intercourse with them. And the women were none the wiser that that was what the situation was, until one woman caught her and decided to expose her publicly. So there it is again. I don't know how many cases we need, and hopefully no more tragedy. So I just wanted to put that out there, because
wow.
the law is moving forward in facilitating more cases like this. So the work you're doing with Gia is of the utmost importance for everyone in this country, both the transgender community and the heterosexual community, because there's going to be major problems moving forward. And there's nothing wrong with them having rights. They've been mistreated. That's not a problem. But if they're going to use those rights to abuse other people, then something needs to be done about it. Thank you so
Absolutely.
Much.
Well,
you.
Well said, Rod. And you know what happens in this case is that it's not the, and we all know this, it's not that overall community. It's those predators within those communities that are the problems. And there's predators in all forms of the community. And what Roz was talking about is so important, because this is an agenda here. There's an agenda
uh-huh.
there's a reason why they're getting that birth certificate changed and altered and redacted. There's a reason why that birth certificate is being redacted. And here's the thing. They're able to do that those individuals have political momentum, because we have not stood our ground and said,
Absolutely.
No, these are the parameters that we will allow to happen. We don't need the overall approval of politicians. The law will actually reflect what we want, because we are more, and we are protecting against predators. Now, if you're not using that for predatory activities, so listen, that's no different than allowing a murderer to use a mask. That's what they're trying to do here. They're trying to allow and condone murdering as long as you use this mask. This is a loophole to the law of rape, because rape is done by force and by fear. So, nah, we're not going to let that happen. So, well said. Hold on, Kim, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll continue this great cause that Kim has that we need to support. Much love, much respect, Big Raj. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Getting ready to go to a commercial break. And when we come back, we'll go back to the lines. Thomas, I see you there. We'll get to you.
Oh, okay.
So we'll get right there. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the...
Okay, I think it faded out. The commercial faded out. Welcome, everyone, back to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation with Kim, give us a call, 704-802-5056. Before we go back to the lines, what I want to do is I want to take a couple of more of your calls, but then I also want to lay out how we can support Gia, the organization that Kim has created, and also support Dewanye. And I would say to everyone, the thing that's most important is not our overall, is Dewanye getting due process. Because once Dewanye gets due process, guess what? Precedence is set. And this is the stand that we need to take in. Just remember that is what, in my opinion, that's what this is really all about. Because until we correct, as Kennedy said, error is something that you can correct. When you fail to correct an error, that's when it becomes a wrong. And this wrong has to be corrected. So give us a call, 704-802-5056, and we'd like to hear from you all. So we got another caller. My man T out of NYC. Go ahead, Thomas. What's your question or comment?
Peace to the calls. Well, man, this is a tragic case, man. I feel for you deeply. I don't know what I would do, you know, if I was in the same situation with my kids. I think that we had a case here in Harlem, and it was right up the street from me. You got this huge precinct, and the largest precinct in Harlem. And a guy went to go meet a girl he met on the internet, and I guess they met, and he didn't realize that it wasn't a female. So when he went to meet her the second time, he had a friend or two with him, and the friends realized it, and they started making fun of him. So he asked, and he punched the transgender, and he fell and hit their head and died. And and he was able somehow to beat that case because he was fooled. I don't know. I know the laws are different in different places. But that was, a tragedy. There was a lot of transgenders who came around the neighborhood and laid flowers. So it was you know, very odd. But I totally feel for you. I think one of the key important things that I hear in your story is to people never plead guilty. If you know, unless you, you know, you've done that crime, you know, try to fight it. You could watch all the television shows about the reality show, real, you know, the first 48 and stuff. They generally don't have a case. You know, you could beat these things. It's that they're able to lie to you. That's part of the system, is they allow the prosecutors and the cops to lie to make it seem like they have a case when they don't, to get you to give up information. And another thing, on the cows, Gus always stressed this, is black people should be serving on juries, trying to help other black people out, because a lot of times we are afraid to face the trial because we know we're probably going to get that all-white jury. And the more of us that's on the jury, the better we'll feel about our chances to fight some of these cases. And I'll mute my line. Thank you.
Yeah, you know what? One of the things that... Go ahead, Kim.
Thank you so much, Thomas, from NYC. I just wanted to say to you that there was scare tactics being done. Of course, NYC is a little bit different from Mississippi. So anybody who knows history knows the history of Mississippi. So that alone, and I'd like to think of myself and my, you know, Dwayne's father and family, all of us, as informed people and, you know, just people that aren't afraid of a fight, and we weren't, and kept going for that.
Right.
We kept going for that, but we were coerced beyond coercion. So an attorney's job is the power of persuasion. So when you hear something so many times, like this is what's going to happen. And ultimately, it had to be Dwayne's decision. You know, so if I had my way, trial, definitely. But it had to be something. So that's why we know that he was under duress. He was not thinking at full capacity. He was still in shock over everything that took place, you know. So it happened so fast. It was just a lot of things coming to him at one time. And I agree with you. You know, we do have to have more black people on juries for the same reason, because you get scared. You say, oh, I'm in an all-white county, and they're gonna hang me. And this is something that he mentioned to me. He says, Mom, I've seen people go up the road for life. Mississippi, if you look at their record, they are notorious. They give the death penalty with no problem. They give life without parole with no problem. So in his mind, he felt like a plea deal, the irony in the word deal, because it's not a deal. But you know what I'm saying? So he's not thinking,
yes,
we weren't. This was the first time that we had this type of situation come up in our family, a criminal charge where of this magnitude. But believe me, we do know better the second go around, and we're wiser, we're more informed. And so that's why we're looking for anyone who has feedback, anyone who has advice. We are not beyond that. We are taking it all in because we really want to do this right with this post-conviction. That's very important to us.
Well, Kim, the wise seek good counsel. And so this, you and your family are extremely wise. And, you know, one of the things that Thomas said that I really need to, and Kim touched on it too, I need to reiterate and to actually magnify and is that we need to be serving on juries. Let me tell you why. Voting. Yeah, 1 second. Yes, I'll come to you in 1 second. Voting has its place. If voting mattered, it would be illegal. One of the most important civil obligations that we have that is neglected within our community is actually serving on the jury, because you directly impact the judicial system by your presence. If you're not there, the case can go the way other than where it should go. And until we understand the importance of that, sitting on a jury is more important than voting and paying taxes. That's really the only thing that this system gave you as a means that we should really be taking up, in my opinion. Because when we're not on the juries, those that are sit on the juries don't reflect, and there is no, you're not getting a trial by your peers. Very, very right. Important. So we had a caller that said, may I be heard? I'm not quite sure where that person was called from. I think it was that from Vegas?
Yes.
It was a young
hello,
lady.
Thank you.
Hey, sister, how you
yes,
doing? Welcome to Tando Radio Show.
I'm fine, thank you. This is Red in Nevada. I've listened to the sister before, and I think when she was on Scotty Reed's show, and I definitely appreciate her sharing the information. You're welcome. I have checked out the GEO website, and I definitely think that is very informative. My question is, because I don't remember if you've said this or not, but was there maybe like any hate crime enhancements that they were trying to add on to DeWanye's case? Is that maybe why still for second degree murder he was still going to get 40 years? Because it seems like that's a lot in comparison to, I guess, other crimes that black people commit between each other. And then I guess another thing is that are you able to maybe, because I know that you said you've sent out different letters and such to different organizations, but it kind of surprises me that there's literally no one, you know, wanting to assist you or against you, because I'm sure we've all seen this, especially let's say if there's a crime against a black person committed by a white person, they could always find one black person to speak up and say, you know, no, this person is wonderful. So it's kind of like baffling, especially with, you know, the issues within the LGBTQ community. And I guess the last thing, I know there was two questions and the last comment that I have, and I'll mute my line. I feel like I kind of wholeheartedly feel like these court systems, they know who they want to serve on these juries. I can tell you, since I, you know, was able to vote, I've always, you know, voted every chance I could and never been solicited, not once. I've had people in my family who, you know, are not as, you know, are kind of struggling, you know, and may have gotten some government assistance, so they kind of know there's no way that person, if they do have a job, can take off to serve on a jury. So I feel like they definitely know who they're trying to solicit for
sister.
Jurors.
Yes, I'm glad you made that point.
And I'm
glad you made that point. What was your name again, sister?
Red.
Okay. Red, if you would, please contact Kim via Gia, because your perspective on things are what really needs to energize this overall crusade that we have with
absolutely
for DeWanye.
Yes.
Go ahead, Kim.
Just to answer your question, your first question, my memory is so off right now, but I do remember your first question, which was why was it so lengthy, the term, was there a hate crime involved? They had no proof of a hate crime. A hate crime was never in the picture for DeWanye's case. It was not considered because there was no evidence that there was hatred involved. This was a situation where DeWanye has never spoken to anyone about what happened that day except his attorneys, the defense attorneys. He initially... we got him defense right away, so he was never interviewed. But they knew from what they were seeing and DeWanye's background, because they did, that this was not a hate crime, so he was not charged as such. The reason that they put it to second degree is because they said that when DeWanye removed D. Wiggum's article, his bag from the scene, in an effort to cover his tracks and throw it in the dumpster, that was a robbery. So the second degree murder charge of it was a robbery. Duane, that's what they said, he committed a robbery in addition to a murder.
Very, very important. Great call, Red. Thank you. Hopefully, Red, please reach out to Gia and to Kim. We're going to take a couple of more, then we have to finish out because we have Melanated Roots is going to be coming on. Kim is going to be coming back, but let me get one more caller in, and then Kim needs to give us some of the information on how we can support Duane, and we need to get an update on Duane before we get out of here. Let me just caller, brother Griffin, welcome to Tando Radio Show. What's your question and comment for Kim?
Okay.
I'll
keep it short. Hello, Kim. Well, I was going to ask you, because you did touch on the robbery charge part, and I remember that when you first came in with Scotty. But what I want to ask you is there any way we can get with you and actually help you file some kind of formal complaint against the prosecutor? Because I heard you say
that
man actually, and I know you have a new lawyer, and I've had some experience in the past, but what I'm trying to get to is, even though they have immunity, there's something about them blatantly lying. And when he came on a public statement and said that he had no evidence, but he actually got in court and put on that transcript that he was, and you also have the your defense attorney too, when he overcharged and gave your son the impression that he had enough evidence to go for a higher charge, there are some remediation for that. You may not be able to get legal remediation for it, but what I'm saying is if you file a complaint, you have a public record for it that might help you down the line. I think you might ought to say something to your lawyer about that, because that's a
public
thing. Okay, and I wish you luck, and you see I'm always trying to send you something. Godspeed.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Otis. It's so important, but I think it was so malicious in this case that there is legal recourse against both of those attorneys, because they have there is an obligation that they violated, and this is, there's a whole lot more. Well said, Brother Otis. So let's real quick, and if we have time for a couple more calls, most important thing, this is about Duane. Kim, if you could, we have like 6 minutes left, and I don't want to, it would be, wrong for us to get off of this, out of this show and not talk about Duane. Give us an update on Duane. How can we support Duane? And then just some of the things that we need to be doing next. Kim, in that you want us to assist you with. So tell us about Duane. Give us an update on Duane. How can we support Duane?
Duane is still very much so in good spirits. He has a lot of support that he is aware of. He is in a state of, he's transferred from the facility where he was, and he's being classified now, and he's in a new arena. He's in an open bay arena with 150 plus different, inmates. So that's a new experience for him, getting acclimated to that. But I speak to him on a daily basis, sometimes twice a day, and he's in good spirits. To support him, I want to just give everyone my email address so that you can individually send me any questions, and I can give you his address for correspondence. That is so encouraging to him to receive a letter, a card, or something, just to keep his head up, because it's a long road. We don't anticipate things changing tomorrow, but during the time, we make his stay as comfortable as possible. And so anything that anyone feels that can help to do that is welcomed. And more so importantly, getting involved with Gia. So for those who want to get involved, and there's so much to be done, because I cover a span of two states, and, I can't cover all of the states, so I need help, with getting the word out. And anybody who has ideas about, we will be looking at filing this post-conviction relief. And I have to tell you, it will be another costly event for us. So, sooner or later, it's going to be coming down to that. Our time is running out for post-conviction. We have a certain amount of time in which to file. The lawyer is really researching what we can do, how to do this insufficient counsel. My email address for everyone, and you can contact me via email, and I will give you my number, because I have conversations with people, because I'm a real person, and I like to talk about it, because it's, and it's just better that way. But in the interim, my email address is save, S-A-V-E, save dot lives, L-I-V-E-S, at Gia Awareness, GIAAwareness.org. So save dot lives at GIAAwareness.org. And you can tell me how you want to get involved. There's always something to do. And we'll be looking into more things as when the lawyer says it's time, because soon it's going to be time to file that post-conviction release. So any ideas, experiences, legal counsel, advice, it's all welcome. There's nothing off limits at this point.
And there's going to be a financial support that we're going to have to give Duane as well in this. And so, and that should be. And so Marvin said that he definitely wants me to. I'm going to give Marv, and Marv is good people, Kim. He wants to help and mentor Duane, because and Marv is a great person for that. So I'm going to give you Marv's number.
That.
Marv, I get you Kim's number as well. I have no problem in that. Good people there. So that's how we're going to support. So just reach out to Kim. And one more time, Kim, how can everyone reach out to you? Email and any other way that you want them to reach out to you to help and assist you. And we need to support Duane now, and Kim will definitely let us know how that the best way to go about that. So one more time, Kim.
Yes.
Your
so the email address is save.lives@giaawareness.org. The website is giaawareness.org, and there's also a portion on the website that says contact us. It goes directly to that email address as well. And I will be more than happy to share Duane's information, his address for letters, like I mentioned. It's just encouraging things for him because he needs that. He really does. He is still trying to process all of this, as you can imagine. So it's helpful when it's family, but anyone who wants to share some encouraging words with him, a card, or just say, hey, the weather is like this, I'm in this state, I've heard your mom, or I was listening to the radio, you were being talked about, that definitely is encouraging to him.
Yes, and I've talked to Duane, great, great young man, and we're going to have Duane on Kando Radio Show.
Yes,
as soon as we can have that, we're going to have Duane on the show, and there are some other things that we're going to be doing with Kim under advisement of her counsel, because this is all about Duane, first and foremost, and so we're going to do that, and so there's also petitions and things that we can do, and as long as counsel says that it's okay for us to do that, then we will be doing that. So please reach out to Kim in supporting Duane, supporting Gia, supporting our community, because what happened to Duane is not something that is just an aberration, a one-time event. This is going to continue, and this is going to adversely affect everyone, regardless of your socioeconomic, political, or sexual orientation. Predators. We have to be protected from predators. So, okay, everyone, I just want to say thank you for listening to the Tando Radio Show. There were a couple of callers that I wasn't able to get to. I'm sorry, but because of time, we weren't able to do that. Reach out to Kim. Kim, one more time, how can they reach you?
Save.live@giaawareness.org. And if you are going to want to write to Duane, it has to just be a white envelope, no stationery, just on regular paper, not typewritten. And that's just something, of course, there's a process. I did stationery. They sent my letters back because I wanted to be fancy, but they didn't allow for that. So
right.
So it just has to be regular letters. But I'll definitely give details to anyone who emails me and wants to know Duane's information. And I really, really humbly appreciate everyone.
Hey, Kim, what I want to do, I'm going to give you my password in BTR community, and you can use it at any time and just put it that is you as Kim. I want you to post that inside of Tando. So I'll get you that, sister. Okay. Much love, much respect. As much always, love. Everyone, it's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. Melanated Roots is coming on right after Tando Radio Show. Kim, hit me up at any time, sister. I love you. I plan on seeing you real
Thank
soon.
You.
So let's do it and let's work. Much love, much respect. We're getting ready to get out of here. We don't have time to even to do anything else. Melanated Roots coming up right after Tando Radio. Peace, peace. We'll talk to you soon.
Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
The views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.